A very good morning to you. Last week, we talked a little bit about the fact that Chinese churches are very good at sending money to do missions, but we are not as good in sending our own people to do missions. And I showed you statistics. We have thousands of churches in North America, but we don't send as many overseas. Now, we are going to be talking about discipleship, being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to really listen to someone who grew up in an American church. She is Asian American, and close enough, she looks quite Chinese. She grew up in this kind of environment, and God called her into full-time ministry. Let me say this. We are all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow Him, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be a disciple wherever we are. Where God has put us, that is our mission field. We need not go overseas to be a missionary. We are missionaries. But there is a dearth of missionaries. The laborers are still few. And God is still calling. And so I pray that Grace's testimony will help you. We have parents here. One of the biggest hurdles young missionaries have is that parents will say no. It's too dangerous. Remember the Korean incident? They sent a bunch of missionaries to Afghanistan, and some of them were killed. They almost sued the church. Parents were so angry. But that's the fact of life. You go on missions, you die sometimes. And so I would let ask Michael to come and introduce Grace to you. She knows her much better. We want to welcome Grace Sparks.
On Friday nights,
it's loud. But I ended up giving my life to the Lord in this church later that summer. And in Galatians 3, it says, God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And that gospel that was preached to Abraham was that I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And I think the first blessing that God blessed me with when I came to this church was placing me in a family of people. And a lot of you guys, I was at Uncle Paul and Auntie Elaine's house last night, are really like family to me. And I just want to share with you guys how God has continued to bless me. The scripture also says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I proposed to Grace on Tuesday. And I've definitely obtained some favor. And I just want to give her a chance to share with you guys how she's been blessed by the Lord to be a blessing to the nations.
So when I was thinking about just a sentence that clearly describes my past 2 years in China, it's 我没想到, and it's I never would have thought or I never would have imagined, and that is what the Lord has done in my life. He's given me a life that is just one that I never would have imagined. I never would have thought that I would have, and that in college, my third year, the Lord would open my eyes to himself, that he would show me who I was, that I was his daughter, that I was a minister of reconciliation, and that he would send me to China. And when I first went to China, I just felt like very inadequate. I was one on a team of 8 people trying to see 10 universities in a university city have the spiritual gospel movements. And he took me and I was only a more than a year in my faith, not really speaking Chinese, and he wanted me to minister to people who didn't know the Lord, who didn't know that he had such a wonderful plan for their life. But he led me through that, and I was able to meet so many students who were lost and who were confused and who didn't have an eternal hope. And he just gave me a love to pursue them. And this last year was was amazing. I was able to see more students have a vision for how the Lord viewed them. Wow, the Lord views me like this. I'm a son or I'm a daughter, and I'm sent to lead others to Christ. He used me in doing that, and I was able to see different Christian professors rise up and encourage them to have a vision for reaching their students in their classroom, and to seeing with transformation in the University City reach out to the ends of the earth. And so it's been quite a journey, and I was able to see other fellow workers and house churches come up and have a vision for reaching students. And so something that just really has touched my heart is the ability to see people like who aren't, I guess, just professional missionaries, see themselves as missionaries themselves from the Lord, and to impact those they work with for the Lord. And so I've come back, and I just have such an even deeper desire to see international students, to see Cary be used in reaching the nations here. I believe the Lord is giving birth to a movement in Cary. This place has the most PhDs from different countries than any place in the world. Think about how we can transform the nations by just inviting our Chinese traveling scholar to our house, or how we can really impact the future generations by just inviting them into our house and giving them a chance to see what fellowship looks like. And so I just would love to extend the opportunity to after worship to meet up with you and to share my experience and just to encourage you more about how we can reach the nations here in Cary and Chapel Hill. Thank you.
The Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we come to you and we are humbled by the fact that you are willing to even send your son to become a man, to redeem us, to live on this earth, to suffer, and to die on the cross, and to redeem us from our sins, and to be willing to use us. Father, we thank you for that. And this morning I pray, Father, that our hearts will be in tune with yours. And if we are not, Father, we pray that your Spirit will move in us to call out and ask for help so that, Lord, we can listen, we can hear, we can receive, and we can have the motivation, Lord, to live out this life that you are offering to us. Help us, Lord, to come alive. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. I have never forgotten what a Texan shared with me. You know, I lived in Texas for 20 years, but I've never seen this sight. He shared this with me, in fact, with our congregation back in Singapore, that there is a place in West Texas where there is a forest of 10,000 trees. And in my mind, I imagine, wow, that must be a humongous forest. In Singapore, there are no forests, we have jungles. And 10,000 trees, that would be a jungle. But then he turned around and said, but you know, none of them is taller than his knees because they don't have enough water. See, we all need water. And without water, without fertilization, without sunshine, nothing grows. And water is one of the basic necessities for life. And we are talking about making disciples, and water comes in. I imagine the Texas, West Texas, after he said that none of the trees are taller than his knees, and I think of water. I've been struggling with this. What is a basic picture of discipleship? And I felt that for the last three times I spoke on this, I didn't really hit the nail on the head. And I want to try one last time. Discipleship is like a hungry person, a thirsty person going after water. And that's the picture I want you to think about. A disciple who goes to the source. See how beautiful it is? It's like God wants to water us. And I'm just wondering, are you willing? Where are you in your spiritual journey? See, what happens is that when we look at the Bible right in the beginning, we discover that God has provided all that we need in the Garden of Eden. He provided food. That was what Adam and Eve needed. He provided a time of fellowship. That's what they needed. He provided water, even though water was not mentioned as a source of food. But you realize that there are rivers in the Garden of Eden. Four big rivers are mentioned. And two of them are still with us today, the Tigris and the Euphrates, huge rivers. That gives us an idea. God built the Garden of Eden for us because He wants us to enjoy what He has to give us. We need water, we need food, and we have other basic needs. Before Adam and Eve fell, before sin came in, what are some of those? We have a basic need for food, for air, for work, for worship, for procreation, to populate this planet. And we are pretty good at that, but we're not too good at the other things. Then Satan tempted Adam and Eve. See, these are the basic things. These are the needs that we have. They were all given to us. But you know what? Satan comes in and tempted Adam and Eve. No, those are not the basic. There's something else that is more important. So Satan tempted Adam and Eve to look to the secondary thing, which is, hey, you guys can be gods. You don't need to depend on God. You can be God yourself. Now, that is idolatry. You know what is idolatry? Idolatry basically is worshiping something other than the supreme being. You know why we need to worship God? Because He is the only one worth worshiping. Because He is supreme. He is the most lovely, the most beautiful, the most excellent, the most powerful. Who do we want to worship except the most powerful one? So I appreciate Chris Tomlin's songs. You know, I'm beginning to appreciate him. I didn't realize that those songs were written by him. And one song that he wrote, Our God is Greater. You know why our God is greater? He deserves our worship. No one is like Him. That's in the song. He's indescribable. He is amazing. He's all-powerful. He's indescribable. He's unchangeable. He's uncontainable. He's incomprehensible. And so we fall down on our knees and we worship Him and we proclaim Him, and we should not do that for any other. And so Satan lured Adam and Eve to worship themselves. You can be gods. You don't need God. You can be like gods. You can be your own boss. And that has become our problem ever since. Satan played to Adam and Eve's pride, their selfishness, their ego, and they sinned. And that has affected us. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins and restored our broken relationships with God, you know, He also restored our ability to actually fulfill the purpose why God made us. When Jesus died on the cross and we asked Him to be Lord and Savior, you know what happens? He gave us the ability once again to love God and to worship Him, to do the right things, to follow Him in discipleship. A child of God is able to be a disciple because God has given us something. He has given us His Holy Spirit so that we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ in discipleship. Now remember, we talked about this, about discipleship, the last two sessions. And I want to end by just asking, what are the basic? I mean, if you talk about discipleship, what is discipleship? Am I a disciple? How am I doing? And I felt that I haven't hit the nail on the head. I struggle with this for the last 2 months after I preached those sermons, and I really want to present to you, and it's in your bulletin, at least the first two of them is what I'll be talking about, hunger and thirst. Those are the foundational principles. A disciple hungers and thirsts for his master. And if a disciple does not hunger and thirst for his master, that person is not a disciple. If you tell me today, Pastor, I don't hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't hunger for God, then you are not a disciple. I challenge you today that if you are not hungry and thirsty for God in your life every day, you will never amount to anything in God's kingdom. You may be brilliant. I just heard the most PhDs in this area. You may be brilliant. You may be wealthy. You may be beautiful, handsome, resourceful. But if you don't hunger for God, you will never amount to anything. And I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. That's what God says. It doesn't matter what your friends think. I believe what's important is what God thinks. I challenge you to go to church, our church website. I'm so glad it is still there. It has been there for the last almost 4 years, 3 years. If you go on the link there, look under the archive, 2008, discipleship, and you'll find links there to a number of messages. One is given by Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, and that message was given a long time ago. The title of the message is Born to Reproduce. We are born to reproduce. We are born not to be alone. We are born to give of ourselves to others and bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are never to be alone. We should have a hunger in us to have fellowship with more and more people and invite more and more people into the kingdom. And then we have a family worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that you will listen to that message. In a nutshell, that message is saying that, you know, when we see a couple who is married, very soon we ask, oh, by the way, I guess Grace said yes, right? Yes, Grace said yes. And then they get married. And what happens? We expect them to have children. And it's embarrassing. Parents, your grandparents will ask, I mean, your parents will ask you, now you're married, 2 years. When am I going to have grandchildren? They'll be pressing you. It's human. It's logical. After you're married, what happens? You procreate. You have little babies. You have little baby Michaels, right? People expect that. And then when you can't, no, that's not a prophecy. If you can, and in many cases, I struggle with this with church members because of our high-pressed society, we have more and more infertility, stress, marrying young, later, many reasons, and they can't. And so we try to find out why. There are medical reasons, psychological reasons, all kinds of reasons, but that is abnormal. The normal is to have children. And so Dawson Trotman is saying, we are born to reproduce. If you are a believer, you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in you. You want others to follow Him. He is worth following. And because He's worth following, I want to share this with somebody. And when I see a Christian who doesn't like to share his faith, something is wrong. Something is wrong. So I pray that you will listen to that message. The second message is basically a talk given by Dawson Trotman, Navigators. The next talk is given by a lady, let me know, what is her name? Pippet. And it's on some of the problems we have with evangelism on campus. So I pray that you listen to it. It's a very down-to-earth, face-to-face talk, sort of. You sense it. She's very down-to-earth. And I hope it will help you, our young people, when you go to school, when you go to college, how to make your Christianity come alive. Okay? So do you hunger? Do you thirst? See, in the Gospel of John, Jesus made 7 astounding statements. We all know that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There are 7 of them. right? He makes claims, and in one instance, he actually combined two of them, as found in John 6:35. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life.'" You need bread. "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst." In that one statement, he combined two basic needs, urges that a disciple would have. If you are a disciple, you will hunger and you will thirst. If you don't hungry and you don't thirst, you are not a disciple. Are you hungering and thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus is the answer to our hunger and our thirst. And I thought I want to share with you from my heart. This is my journey. I felt that this was what I didn't do. You know, I talk about other people's example. I want to share with you my personal walk. I didn't grow up in a church. So when I came to church, and this is foreign, reading this, no one has ever read this to me. My parents never did. I read it. And you know what happened is God created over time. It didn't come overnight. A hunger and a thirst to know more. I would share my faith, and I would fail, and I gave up. And then I'll share my faith, and I'll give up. And I came to points where Lord, you say we should do it. I'm trying very hard. And I just have to cry to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me." Have you come to the point where, you know, you read the Bible? I have. I've been there. You have all the intentions to read the Bible. I'm going to start off the new year very well. Read the Bible, but within 5 minutes, sleeping. You know, but when you watch TV, you know, wow, you're wide awake. But when it comes to the Bible, you know, or you read a spiritual book, fall asleep. But when you read something by those fiction, science fiction writers or the detective novels, wow, you can read until next morning and don't sleep. There are people who are like that. So I faced that and I prayed, "Lord, why am I falling asleep? Please help me." And you know what? God helped me. See, God, the Lord is waiting for us to ask for help. He's waiting for us to fail on our own. See, we are all operating on our own steam, most of us, all the time, most of the time. It's a big me. I can do it. Oh yeah, sure, I can read the Bible. I can go to Sunday school. I can do all these things, but I do it all by myself with my own strength. And God is just waiting for us to fail. And I fail, and I came, and I cry coming to the Lord. "Lord, why don't I have a love for you? Why don't I thirst for you?" I beg him for a thirst, for hunger. It didn't come overnight. It came gradually. It came to a point where I said, "Lord, I really want to get into this." And I began to study. And the best time to study is when everybody is asleep because it's noisy. I have 7 brothers and sisters, my parents. It's quite a big household. We share a room, four guys in one room. Double-deckers, don't have a lot of privacy. And so I prayed, "Lord." So I have to wake up early in the morning before everybody. I prayed, "Lord, help me not to fall asleep. Help me to be interested." And you know what? Over a period of time, I find a growing hunger. And then I was slackened and said, "Lord, please give me that hunger." And I find him helping me. And there came a point where I really want to know the meaning of this. I don't understand it. And so I bought a set of commentaries. Expensive. But I was already working. So I bought a set of commentaries. I began to look at the set of commentaries, and I started taking notes. You should see my Bible. I was writing notes all over that. I can't even read my own notes. That was what I was doing, so that I can understand. Now, discipleship, evangelism, scares me to death. "Lord, I don't know how to do it. Please help me." And he gave me one victory. I led a person to, "Oh, you really want to become a Christian? Have you been there before?" I'll give you an example, right? I was in the army, and my sergeant was the only guy who was interested to listen to me. one of the few. And we began to talk, became friends. We were there only for 4 weeks. I only knew him for 4 weeks. And then we have a lull in the training, we talked. And I'm not Chinese educated. He's Chinese educated. I don't speak Chinese very well. But I have the four spiritual laws in Chinese. So I said, why don't you read this? And then I will explain to you in my broken Chinese. I think probably Grace understands what I'm trying to say, four spiritual laws. So he read it, and I explained it to him. And at the end, he came to the prayer part. Do you want to become a Christian? He said, yes. Really? That's what I said. Now, that's how I grew. I said, God, this is wonderful. And by the way, he showed up at church, my church, the next Sunday. He got baptized, joined the church. And he joined our church planting team. He became our treasurer, my sergeant. And then he called me pastor. I was a lance corporal, okay, by the way. So God changed me. God helped me. What about you? Discipleship. I don't know how to disciple people. I barely know how to lead people to Christ. How you disciple? Never done discipling. Never joined the Navigators. Never gone to any conferences. And then the church asked me to take care of discipleship. You know what happened? I went back, I cried to the Lord and prayed. And I attended all the training that I could find, that I have time for. I read all the books on discipleship I could lay my hands on. I was hungry. And I want to ask you, ask the Lord to give you that hunger. Only He can give you that hunger. If He doesn't give you the hunger, and if it is just you saying that, yeah, I'm going to read all the discipleship books, you're not going to finish. It won't do. It has to be from the Lord. He gave me the hunger. Gave me the hunger to lead people. And then the next step was, we planted a church. We needed preachers. We need to have people speak from this book. And the pastor who helped us plant the church picked four of us. Picked me. So, you know, Pastor, I've never preached in my life, you know. I was scared to death. And he asked the four of us, each of you preach four times. The first one is me. And I can tell you that I can still remember the topic. Can you believe it? I can still remember the topic. God the Father. That was a topic given to me. I told my pastor, I can say all that. I can say everything that I know about God the Father in 5 minutes. And you want me to stretch it over four Sundays? I can't do it. Well, I struggled. I could have chickened out. I could have said, Pastor, find someone else. I could have said that. I went back, I prayed. We were already married. You should ask Jean. You know how many times I preached that first sermon to Jean? I think she had memorized it. You know, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. My pastor gave all four of us a one-hour crash course on preaching. And I look back, I say, that is my growth. That is my discipleship path, so to speak. You see, what happened is that God wants all of us to grow. We don't grow overnight. See, God is giving us small little assignments, and He's testing our faithfulness. See, I fall. I fail Him many times. But when I fail, I pick up got up, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, and go on from there. There are no perfect Christians. And I look at you, I pray that you will have the hunger and the thirst. Say, God, if you call me to do this, if it is really you, give me the courage to say yes. And you'll be surprised. When you say yes the first time, God blesses you, and you see God work in your life, and you hunger and thirst for more. That's my journey. I saw a little bit. I hunger and thirst for more, and more, and more. What about you? It says, turn your eyes, the song we sang just now, turn your eyes upon Jesus and things on earth will grow strangely dim. So all archaic English, right? But I think you get it. Is that true in your life? That when you turn your eyes on Jesus, everything grows dim in this world? I hope so. That is only true if you are developing a deeper and deeper hunger and thirst for God. I struggled with many things as I was growing. There was a period when I was a young pastor. I just started pastoring the church. And you know, there was a time when computers first came out. They actually have computer games back then. Did you know that? When computers came, they already have computer games. It was black and white, but they already have computer games. I was hooked on a computer game. And if you look back, you will laugh. My wife can attest to that. I bought a color monitor, so mine was in color, but you know. I played that game until 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. I did that for about a week. And I hear God telling me, this will not do. Have you heard God telling you, when you've done something wrong, this won't work? And I feel so bad. But I love the game. Does that resonate with some of our youth, some of our guys? Yeah, all going to the next level so that I'll beat, you know, be on the list. I've been there. You know, I'm not that old. Okay? And so I prayed. I broke down. I cried. I said, Lord, this won't do. I'm in ministry. I'm a pastor. I said, Lord, give me a change of heart. Change my heart. I can attest to you, I am no longer interested in computer games. I have computer games at home. My daughters, they have computer games. They will ask me to play computer games, and I will say, it's a waste of time. And I don't play computer games. So if you invite me to play computer games, my answer probably will be no. I played a little bit with Chloe last night, but she begged. I played the Wii ping pong with her. I just played one time, and I said, no, basketball. I said, this is no fun. I prefer to play the real thing, right? Okay, that's me. I got hooked on it. I prayed, Lord, take it from me. I don't know what you are facing, what struggles you have. God wants all of us to be disciples, but Satan is very smart. He will divert our attention to something that will hook us. I don't know what it is for you. And it will divert your energy and your time. So much so that you have no time for the things of God. You have no time to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow other things. Look at what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. This is the story of the Samaritan woman at a well. Jesus went there. And actually, I believe that this story gives us the clue. How can I hunger and thirst for what is significant? John 4, 31, 32 says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. They were hungry. So he sat at the well, sent the disciples into town to buy food. They came back and they were offering him food. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Yes, I'm hungry, but I'm eating something that you have no idea what it is. And what was he talking about? Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was sharing with this Samaritan woman. And something happened to this woman. And this woman went into town and brought the whole village to come see Jesus. And when he was saved that day, it says, verse 31 to 34, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, we read that, but he said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? But Jesus said in verse 34, I think that is the key. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Brothers and sisters, when was the last time you hunger to do God's work so much so that you're willing to skip a meal You're hungry, but you're doing God's work and it's so exciting that you will fast and you will pray. When was the last time you fasted and prayed? See, Jesus was so filled with the Spirit, he knew what God wanted him to do, that he was willing, he had forgotten his physical hunger because he was hungry for something that is even greater. What about us? The psalmist says, as a deer pants for streams of water. You know, the picture that the psalmist paints is very graphic. The deer pants for the streams of water. And then he says, my soul thirsts. And then he switches to the human being. I'm like that thirsty deer. I need to drink. And when I drink, I am filled. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. That's God's promise to us. He will fill us. What about you? Ask yourself, what are you filling your life with? What are you filling your life with? You know, I heard this from David Jeremiah, that he was hospitalized one time. I think I shared this with you. He was hospitalized and he came out, he had to take leave, and he couldn't be out of the house. And so he had nothing to do. He was at home, and so people bought him videos, CDs, videos, 24. And so he started watching. And it was so engaging, you know, it's like, you know, a cliffhanger every time. You want to catch it, and you want to catch it, and you catch it. And you know what he said? At night when he was sleeping, in his dreams, he was killing people. In his dreams, he was killing people. And he said, Lord, that's no good. See, what happened is that we fill our minds with all these things. I don't know what you fill your minds with. Satan is very good at filling our hearts and our minds with all kinds of stuff. So much so that we have no more room for what matters. I can say this, if you don't hunger and thirst for the Lord, you don't hunger and thirst for this, it is because we have diverted our heart's energy to something else. What about you? Where is your heart today? Now, I'm going to just close because of time. I want us to do something. You remember the parable Jesus told about the fig tree? In fact, I think Brother Jared preached on that. The fig tree was not producing fruit, and the fig tree was cursed. And as a result of that, the fig tree withered. The next day, the disciples went into Jerusalem, saw the fig tree. Jesus withered the fig tree. Why? There's no fruit. Now, we can go into all kinds of arguments why Jesus did that. Well, the tree has leaves, but no fruit. You need to know something about fig trees. The fruit usually comes first. Interesting, right? That's one explanation. Fruits will usually come first and then the leaves. And so if you see leaves, the tree ought to have fruits. But on that tree, leaves only, no fruit. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. It's one of several, very few miracles Jesus performed that seem so negative. This is one of them, cursing a tree. Another example would be casting the evil spirit from this man into a herd of swine. And the swine ran down the cliff, 2,000 of them drowned. Wow, that was a negative miracle for the people who owned the pigs. They basically said, Jesus, if you stay longer, we'll lose everything. Right? Now, in this case, the fig tree, very showy, leaves, but no fruit. Now, let me say this. I don't know anything about gardening until I came here. And every day, I go to my backyard, water it, and I'm praying for fruit. You know, I'm praying for fruit. Okay, this is a fruit tree. I want fruit, but I have lots of trees in my backyard, quite a few. They look very nice. In fact, there are a few of them that are really, they are counterfeiters. They look very good. Lots of leaves, but not a single fruit. And every day I'm telling myself, when am I going to cut this sucker down? Just wasting space. I believe God, John 15, verse 1, I'm the vine, my Father is the gardener. And the gardener is looking for fruit. Fruit reproduction is a sign that this person is a disciple. A person who hungers and thirsts will grow and produce, will have fruit. And if there's no fruit, John 15 says, my Father will cut it down and burn it. It's wasting space. And then for those that are producing, he will cut it. He will trim it. He will, what's the word? He will, that's a word for it. A gardening term that I don't even care. He prunes so that it will grow. It will produce more fruit. Where are we? Are we just a show off? We look very nice. But then we have no fruit. So I want us to stand together and meditate on this song. Let's stand together and I'll ask Christine to play this for us. Now I know this is an old hymn. It took me quite some time to find it. But I tell you that this is one of the songs that affected me when I was a young Christian. It's not an easy song to sing, but the words are very meaningful. And I'm asking you to examine your hearts, because God is examining all of us all the time. And He's not looking for leaves. He's not looking for show-off Christians. He's not looking for Christians who only want to stand in front but don't do the work. He's not looking for Christians who come to church, call themselves Christians, but don't do anything for the kingdom. He's asking for fruit. The farmer is looking for fruit. The father is looking for fruit. And the song says, nothing but leaves. The master is seeking a harvest in lives he's redeemed by his blood. He seeks for the fruit of the Spirit and works that will glorify God. But then what happens? Nothing but leaves I give my master. Oh, how his loving heart grieves when instead of the fruit he is seeking, we offer him nothing but leaves. And I hope that that would not be true of us. Wouldn't it be sad on a judgment day that this is true of you? If this is true of you today, we have opportunity to change. And I pray that you will go home and repent and say, Father, I want fruit. Help me. I want to grow. I want to be a disciple. Okay? So as we sing this, I want to invite those of you that if this song resonates with you, and that's what you want, and all I'm asking is that if in your heart you're moved and you say, Lord, I need to repent. You know, I've given my time to all kinds of pursuits, but not this. I'm not drinking this in. I'm not memorizing it. I'm not leading people to Christ. I want to change. Only He can. We cannot. Then I invite you as we sing, come and stand with us. And then we will have a short prayer for you. I invite the deacons and the elders to come to invite, to be here and maybe to lead in a personal prayer for those who want to make a personal commitment at this time. If you are not a believer and you believe that this is the truth, you want Jesus in your life, like what Grace was sharing, that it would be meaningful and your life from this point would be meaningful, I pray that you will come as well. I'm not a great singer. I'm not a good singer. I'm not even a singer. I just want to sing the first stanza for you. And I pray that we will sing along. There are four stanzas. Let's play.